Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Hey, hello everyone. This is Mike Hesch with Healing Journeys Today. Thank you for joining with me today for today's truth stream. A true stream. Welcome every one of you. I appreciate your hearts towards the word of God. You know, I'm sure there's many other things you could be doing, but to take your time really says a lot about your heart towards our Father and his word. And so that's awesome. That blesses me. Anyway, I have a great topic today. It is entitled, what did I call it? How the Natural Affects Healing. And, you know, this was interesting how, interesting but almost difficult to how to title this, because these are the kind of questions that I hear and I get most often. People are always wondering, you know, oh, my friend had this cancer and they had this treatment and now they're fine. And how come, you know, I get it and I still got it and, you know, none of the treatments worked for me. And so people don't understand, you know, how the natural affects healing. They don't understand why one person takes chemo and they end up dying. Another person takes chemo therapy and they survive. Or one person has surgery and they survive. Another person has the same surgery, but, you know, they end up dying a little while later. So I hope to, in fact, by the Spirit of God, I will explain these things today and help us to see from God's perspective how those things actually work and why they have an effect on healing. I do want to make this statement to start with. I think it's fundamental to this. And I'll start with this observation. I want everyone to grab the zipper on their body. No, on their body, not on your clothes. I want you to grab the zipper on your body or the Velcro or whatever other closure you have that opens up your body to the outside. Okay, do you got your hand on? Oh. You mean you don't have a special opening to have access to the inside of your body? Really? That's amazing. You know what? I don't either. And nor does anyone else that God has created. Okay? Did you ever stop to think about that? That is one of those obvious things that's never written down anywhere. It's not in the Bible. But the absence of it is so significant. Do you think that if God wanted us to have access to the inside of our body, don't you think he would have given us some kind of opening, some kind of a flap, snap, button, Velcro, zipper, something? But he didn't. I think that's very significant. And in fact, the one opening that you have when you're born with, he immediately has you tie it off and put a knot in it and then push it in so you can't get to it to play with it and open it up. Okay, think about it. That is, I think that's a very significant point. You know, I've meditated on that. And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, that is a very, very important point. Okay, now I want to make this other statement too, because when anyone hears me talk about this topic in particular, I don't want them to think that I am against doctors, I'm against physicians, I'm against natural foods, I'm against herbs, I'm against vitamins. First of all, my opinion doesn't matter. But second of all, God's opinion on those things is not critical, in the sense that he hates them or is against them, okay? Now, anything that someone does or practices that is contrary to God's word and leads people away from the word of God to trust in another source for deliverance, God is against that because that's not good for that person, okay? No matter what you're searching for or looking into or leaning to, if it's not our Father and what he's provided through Jesus Christ, then you're looking in the wrong direction and it will at some point fail you. It'll some point, it is incomplete and is in a way deceptive, okay? So God is not against the people who practice medicine or the people who, you know, have learned about herbs and nutrition. But if they're pointing you to something that eliminates trust in God and his word, then God is against that. And by default, he's against them because that's what they believe in. So I think that's an important point that I needed to make so that you hear the context of which I'm sharing, okay? Okay, so I wanted to start with this one scripture that really began to open my eyes because, you know, when I was very sick, I wasn't getting any kind of deliverance through, you know, prayer or people laying hands on me, and praying over me, prayer cloths. I did the whole gamut that the word talks about, and it was not affecting a change in any way in my life. So, as part of my study previous to being sick, I had studied much in the word about, diet, foods, things like that, because I was part of a fellowship who believed in natural healing, who believed that God had made the herbs and plants for healing. And so believing that was a hindrance to my heart in going all in on the truth of God's word, which was in essence, a roadblock to me embracing fully with my heart the healing that God had provided for me in Christ. Although I assented to it, I acknowledged it, I confessed it. It was in, you know, part of my scriptures I rehearsed, but it never produced the fruit that it was intended to produce because my heart was divided. So there was a scripture when I finally came to the end of that route after being very dedicatedly, is that the right word? Very diligently following after that you would say method or ideology, I realized that at best it was incomplete. It was not something that worked for every single person for every single condition. Even what I observed after reading many books and so many testimonies about healing, herbs and things like that, I realized that, you know, you could have two people with colon cancer. One took the treatment and the other took the same treatment. One was delivered and the other wasn't. And they followed the same protocol. They had the same person administering it to them, yet the results were 100% different. So I observed that over and over through my study of those people trying those methods. And I discovered in there that at best, they are incomplete. In other words, that information doesn't apply to everyone. However, the truth of God's word is applicable to every person. Jesus said, you, that includes everyone, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He didn't say it might make you free. It could make you free. It's possible that you might find freedom through it. No, he said, when you know the truth, you will be made free. There's no debate on that. It's black and white, okay? It's divides, just like the word does. But anyway, when I was looking into this, how the natural affects healing, I came across this scripture one day. It's in Exodus 23, And it is, I'm going to read in verse 25 and 26. It says, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I there is Jehovah, and I, Jehovah, will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days, I, Jehovah, will fulfill." Now, you know, I read that all the time, and I kept saying, see, God's blessed the herbs and the vitamins, you know, and the natural. So, you know, God provided that for healing, but that's not true. God makes a very sharp distinction here between the purpose of food and water and where healing comes from. That's very important. And where your long life comes from, okay? And he makes it very clear. He's the one who can bless your bread and your water. And I'm going to read a scripture in a moment that, you know, clarifies that for this New Testament for all people. But then he says, "And I will take sickness and disease from the midst of thee." Notice, you know, when our bodies get to a place where they are overtaken, or as it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, when they become oppressed of the devil, that requires a spiritual power to mediate or to overcome that, okay? And that's what God is saying here. Our Father is saying here, look, I've provided bread and water, and that will meet the requirements of your body to sustain itself and to, you know, walk in healing, walk in health, you know, that I've designed for you to walk in, okay? It's fuel for your body. Let me just back up one second here, okay? Do you know that food is a fuel? It's like gasoline to your car, okay? It is a fuel that your body consumes to operate all of its functions properly, okay? And the food, not all food, but food that God made, it provides the minerals, the vitamins, the nutrients that is necessary for your, at the very fundamental layers or building blocks of your body that they need to repair and replace themselves. You know, I've mentioned this in other studies, but I read somewhere, I don't remember where, but you can check this source if you'd like, find out. But each cell in your body is replaced every 7 years. In other words, there's a 7-year cycle where all the cells are replaced. And without proper fuel, for them to replicate themselves, over time, they're only going to be able to reproduce what they are within themselves. So that's how weakness is passed on from generation to generation, is that that weakness in the cell is, you know, affects the DNA and things like that. I don't want to get into the science, but anyway, the point is this: God made that as fuel for our body, and everyone needs it in order to sustain life. But the spiritual part of man is greater than the physical part. Case in point is Moses. Moses was up on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, and he ate no food, okay? Most people, I mean, I'm sure there's many of you out there that have done a 40-day fast. And you say, no problem. Now, take away the water. Moses didn't have any water either. 40 days and 40 nights without water. I can't remember, but I think it's like 4 days that you become, where it begins to, your body without any kind of more water at all, your body begins to shut down. And so very, very important. So God was able to sustain Moses through the spirit beyond the physical capacity of his body. And that's the point I want to make. Food has a purpose. It fuels the body, but there's something greater than the physical body that can go beyond the ability of the body, okay? And that is spiritual. Some people use the term supernatural, which just simply means goes beyond the ability of the natural, okay? Now let's go also to Timothy in Timothy here. Let's see here. In First Timothy chapter 4, I also have taught on this too, but it goes with this topic, how the natural affects healing. It says now, the Spirit, I'm in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So he's going to talk about things that come from seducing spirits and doctrines of devils for the purpose of deceiving people. And this is what they're going to do. They're going to be speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, people are going to be relating these ideas, philosophies, teachings, doctrines to people, and they're going to be doing it in hypocrisy. In other words, it's all going to be an act. In other words, there's no substance to it. It might have an effect. It might, produce some results of some kind, but it's not going to be what God has provided for us. He goes on to say, and these are some of the things that they're going to be teaching, forbidding to marry and to abstain from meats. And the word meats there is translated otherwhere, food, and it's not just red meat, okay? Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So everything is lawful unto you, as Paul said, but not everything's expedient. So the point he's making here is he's saying, look, God, in faith, you can eat whatever God created. But in other teachings, I talk about how there is, your conscience can hinder you from eating something that is okay to eat because you know something about it, or your mind has been corrupted with some other information. And so, it affects you. You can't eat it in confidence, so you're not eating it in faith, and it can actually harm you that way. He goes on to say, for every creature is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Listen carefully. For it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. In other words, faith is based on the word of God. So if you're going to have confidence to eat something, you have to have a truth from God's word that you're going to be confident or trust in. Okay? Like the one I stand on for myself is in Mark chapter 16, where it tells us that these signs shall follow them that believe. And because I do believe the word, I know that I can drink something deadly, it won't hurt me. In other words, or I can eat something and it won't hurt me. In other words, anything that I ingest will not cause me any harm, okay? Now, because I believe, I know that that is effective in my life. And that's the point he's making. You have to know from God's word and rest in what that word says in order to have this confidence. Now, listen to what he focuses on, however. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. In other words, if you want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, you're not going to be preaching to people that they shouldn't be eating, like, don't eat wheat, don't eat meat, don't eat red meat, don't eat this, don't eat shellfish. In other words, you're not going to be preaching something contrary to what God preaches, okay? Boy, I can just hear some of the shoes got really tight out there. Hey, folks, but if that shoe fits, you need to say, wait a minute, what am I telling or preaching to other people? Folks, the truth will make you free. It might be uncomfortable when you first hear it, but if you'll yield yourself to that truth, it will make you free. I've taught on this for years, and I remember getting a testimony back from someone, and they said they were very thankful that I was truthful in what I shared with them. And they said, wow, they said, you know, years ago, I went on this diet of buying only, gluten-free. And they said, you know, I eliminated gluten completely from my diet, thinking I'd become this superhuman person. You know, my health would just excel. And I eliminated all these other foods and, just ate only organic. And they said, you know what? The only thing that it impacted in their life was their wallet. In other words, they spent a lot more money, but it didn't change their health situation. They did say this. They said, yes, they had noticed that they lost some weight, but that was because they cut out things that probably weren't good for them to eat with to start with, you know, that were just, fillers, things they really didn't need. So, but they learned through hearing the truth, wow, I don't need that. I can trust God to lead and guide me in everything. And that's the point that's being made here. And then listen to what he says. He says, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine. Wow. Notice that. I think that's significant. He didn't just casually throw that word in there, nourished. It was intentional, saying we should be receiving our nourishment, what really causes us to flourish, from God's word and his truth. And that is what's going to make us flourish. Verse 8, he says, well, actually 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather to godliness. You know, the fables there includes any kind of, you know, traditional type medicine passed down through the ages. And he's saying, look, don't be focused on those, but rather he says, focus yourself unto godliness. You know, God can show you if you need something, some added fuel to your body to help you. And he'll tell you that. Do you remember when Jairus came to Jesus and he was talking about how he came because his daughter was at home dying. And even when they were on their way there, he got the news that his daughter was dead. And Jesus said, hey, don't be afraid, just believe and your daughter will be made whole. But even when they got there and Jairus, his faith, joined with Jesus, caused his daughter to live. When she rose up, Jesus turned to his parents, to her parents, and said, give her something to eat. That's mentioned in both Mark and Luke. That's a significant point. Now, what was Jesus saying? Oh, I healed her. She doesn't need to eat at all. Yeah, you know, she's good. Yeah, just let her. No, Jesus was aware of these natural roles that God created our body to live and move in, okay? And Paul is not denying them here either. He's saying, look, don't get on some crazy, bent out of shape, demonically inspired diet that you're eliminating everything that God said you could have, but rather exercise your heart in the truth of God's word. You'll be nourished with strength to stand in faith on his word, and you'll be able to receive what God has created for your body to be sustained and to grow and to flourish. Amen. Remember, he said he would satisfy us with long life and salvation. That's in Psalms 91. And what does it say? It says, for those that set their love on him. In other words, when your heart comes into agreement with what he has provided for health, healing, wholeness, then he's able to fulfill his desire for you, which is long life, and that you would flourish in the salvation, which is not just for, you know, when we die, it's for now. It includes healing for your physical body. Those are very key, important points to keep in your mind and heart, okay? But I'd rather focus on something that's connected to our body, and that is, how is it that chemo and radiation and treatments from doctors actually have an effect on our body and appear to have a healing effect on our body? You know, it's like anything that we ingest into our body is going to have some kind of effect on it. Take, for example, you drink coffee or tea or water. If you're thirsty and you drink water, it's going to quench your thirst. If you're tired and you drink coffee, it's going to affect your body. In other words, the caffeine within the coffee has a stimulating effect, and it's a physiological effect on the physical body. And it has, if you drink too much coffee, you can get jittery and wiry and irritable. Those kind of things can happen. That's a law. It's been set up that way. It has an effect on the body. Now, man figured that out, and man has used what they call medication to produce the same effects in our body. But the difference is prescription medicines have to be prescribed because they're poisons. In fact, if you look up, prescription drugs, it means a poison, okay? It's something that is, if it's not controlled or monitored in a specific amount, it will actually hurt you because it's making your body do something against what God has created it, created to be good for it, okay? Like, let's just think of anything. Here's a simple one. If you have normal blood pressure and you take a high blood pressure medication, then it could actually kill you. In other words, it could cause your blood pressure to lower so much that you can't sustain your life. Okay. Now that's forcing your body to do something against its will chemically. It's making it have that effect. So all drugs have an effect on the body, but they can't cause it to heal itself, okay? Let's take, for example, you have a cancer or something in your body. Don't forget, that starts at the cellular level. It starts, and I'm not going to go into that, there's an oppression from the devil that can start all that off, okay? Now, let's say it's, you get a growth in your body. Now the doctors can go in, they can open you up, they can find out that where that little, whatever it is, and they can surgically remove it. They can apply chemo to your body to try and remove it. They can radiate it to kill it. They can try, have all those methods. Now, if they're able to successfully destroy it without the rest of your body, then many people think, well, they're healed. And they were healed because they took chemo or they took radiation or some type of treatment. But that's not really true. All that the doctors did was removed the stressful part that was taxing your body, that was hindering it from functioning normally. So if they removed what was hindering your body from working or functioning normally, their thinking is if we can just get that out of there, then your body will recover itself. And God did create our bodies to handle incredible amounts of stress. And, not just from, the environment as far as interaction with other people, psychological, emotional, that type of stress, but stressors on the body. Physical stressors like, sickness and disease. And those things, God made our body to be able to respond to them. Like, if you get a virus in your body has a mechanism to combat that God created. It was made at the foundation of the world when he made Adam. It was put into our body. Now, what doctors do is they try and help your body to get to a place where it's able to recover on its own. You know what I mean? It's like if you do have surgery, then usually they have a rehabilitation therapy afterwards where you do specific exercises or you eat certain diets or things that allow your body to repair. And like wherever you were cut open, the doctor didn't heal you. He's going to rely on your body to seal that wound up itself. So I think it's wrong for us to think within our minds that, so-and-so had a radiation and chemo and this and that, and they're healed now. And did the radiation and did the surgery heal them? Well, the answer would be no. Let me put it this way. If you can endure the treatments, if your body can handle the treatments for the time that it takes to actually kill what the treatments are trying to do is kill the cancer or kill the opposing force in your body, whatever's taking it over. If it can kill that without killing your body, then your body will have a chance to recover. That's how it works, okay? So I think it's wrong, and it's not my opinion, it's the God's opinion. I think any doctor will tell you that they cannot, any physician will tell you that they cannot heal you. What they can do is they can help your body through medication, surgeries, you know, things like that, to get to a place where it will be strengthened to recover on its own. Now, what we read in Exodus 23, 25, and 26 was God explaining that very simply, saying, look, if the food and the water don't do it, and you got sickness and disease, if it's not maintaining your body and disease and sickness comes into you, then that's what I'm here for. I'll take that away from you, okay? But if you're not looking to God for that, then you can't expect that deliverance. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, Asa, a king, that God had set up, and he was a good king for a while, but he got offended. And it says that in the latter part of his reign, that he was diseased in his feet. Let me read this to you, because I think it's significant how it's worded. Very important. Now, I want to remind you that the books of Chronicles, and Kings was written from records. Okay, they weren't the scribes wrote things from records that were already kept. And notice what it says here. I'm in 2 Chronicles 16, and I'm going to begin in verse 11. It says, "And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in his 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but sought to the physicians." And the next phrase is very sobering. "And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign." So there's a place where the Bible does talk about physicians, but it's in a negative light. In other words, they were treating him for 2 years, but he still ended up dying. He was not benefited by them at all. And there's another commentary in the Bible about physicians, which gives the same commentary as that. And we'll go to Mark for that in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, listen to what it says here. It says, I'm in verse 25 of 5, and it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. For she said, if I but touch his clothes, I will be made whole." So the condition that she had for 12 years and sought to the physicians for, she was never healed by them whatsoever. But rather, it wasn't until she touched Jesus, in other words, embraced that he was her healing, that she actually was delivered. Now, when I was very sick and I took all these herbs for so long a time, they really didn't help me. In fact, I think in some ways they made me worse. But I actually had people, after I received healing from the Lord, say, "Well, that's why you were healed, because you took all those herbs and it just took a little while for your body to receive it." But, The difference there is that I know what happened. I know that the moment my heart changed and trusted completely in what Christ had already done, that I was actually healed and delivered. So I understood that, and I had that revelation. So therefore, I knew the difference. And from that moment forward, things changed. Where, well, as long as I was taking the herbs, I kept looking to my body for a change or a deliverance or confirmation that, hey, they're working. But with God, you don't have to do that, you know? I wanted to also read in Luke chapter 8, because it adds a significant point about that woman with the issue of blood. Listen to how he says it here in this. He says in verse 43 of chapter 8 of Luke, he says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living on physicians, neither could be healed of any." That's a very important point. It doesn't mean that she didn't have responses to their treatments, but it says that she was not able to be healed by them. And that again goes back to Exodus chapter 23. Listen to this. I wrote this down. I thought it was very interesting. And you probably all know this, but listen carefully. It's, do you know that there's not one place in the Bible where anyone is referred by God to the world for deliverance of any kind? Now, I know all of you out there are going to run and try and find somewhere where it is, but if you'll look carefully, the whatever God uses in the world is because of his power or his spiritual ability being exercised, not anything from the world. In other words, Jesus, just for example, Jesus or any of the disciples that we read about, never referred anyone to a doctor. Not one single person. That, again, is a significant point for us to take note of. If there was just one time where Jesus said, "Oh, you don't need to be healed, you need to go to this guy," okay, then we could do that. But there's not, the absence of it is not only significant, but profound, okay? Think about that. So he didn't send anyone to anyone for deliverance from this world, okay? Jesus always pointed people to the kingdom of heaven and the deliverance that God had for them. In fact, it says in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That same power is what that woman experienced coming out of her, coming out of Jesus into her, okay? Now it says, "And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil." How was he able to do it? Because God was with him. So God used the person of Jesus Christ here on this earth to effect change in other people, but he did it through his Spirit. And Jesus never pointed anyone to anything in the world for their deliverance. Again, back to Jairus' daughter. He didn't point them to get her something to eat so she could be healed. He pointed it because her body needed to be refueled now that she was healed. And that's what Jesus was doing. I think that's so significant. Another example that many people point to is Hezekiah. In Isaiah, there's a few accounts of this, but go to the one in Isaiah 38. These scriptures are important. Folks, this is what Paul told Timothy. He said, "Look, you need to be nourished up in the doctrine of truth." And that's why I'm going to point you to the Word of God, because these truths are what will make you free. Okay? You'll never find me pointing anyone to deliverance through the natural world. Okay? There are things that work in the natural world, like I described a minute ago, but that's not where your healing or deliverance comes from. Notice here in Isaiah chapter, what is it? Isaiah 38, Hezekiah's sickness. And did I write down? Did I write that down? Yep, here it is. Let's just start in verse 1. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came and said unto him, thus saith Jehovah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Wow, Isaiah, the prophet of God, comes to you and tells you, you're not going to live, you're going to die. What would you do? Would you like, I'm going to die, or I'm coming to meet you, Lord? What would you say? Well, this is what Hezekiah said. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto Jehovah and said, I'm paraphrasing, hey, look, that's just your messenger. I'm going straight to you. I'm going to go directly to God himself and get my answer. That's good advice, folks. Just because a prophet comes and tells you something doesn't leave you without a recourse. You know, you have a relationship with your Father through Jesus Christ that's just as significant as the prophet who's coming to tell you something from God. My question would be, why didn't God tell me himself? Amen? And notice what Hezekiah says. He goes to the Lord and he says, you know, remember, Lord, I've been seeking after you, walking with you. I'm paraphrasing. And verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and said to Isaiah, thus saith Jehovah, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer and I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee 15 years. So in other words, Hezekiah bypassed the prophet and went straight to God. And God said, well, sure, I'll give you more years. And God gave him more years. But this is what people have used for me. In fact, I had people come to me and tell me this when I was sick. But anyway, go over with me to verse 21. And it says, For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. So people, instead of attributing to what God said, I'm going to extend your life, just like we read in Exodus 23:25, they take the credit away from God working that healing in Hezekiah, and they're saying, nope, it's the figs that did it, okay? Now, I tried the figs. The figs didn't work. It was very messy, but I'm just saying it didn't work. So unless it's directed by God, so Hezekiah was directed of the Lord to tell Hezekiah this, but who gave life to Hezekiah? Well, we read right here, God, Jehovah, our Father, the Father of Jesus Christ, said that, hey, I'm going to add unto you 15 years. Now, that's consistent with all the rest of the scriptures. Amen? So another thing that comes up when we're talking about how the natural affects healing is people say, well, even Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know, very significant point he's making there is, first of all, if you look up the word physician, it actually comes from a word that literally means a healer. So in the context that Jesus is using that scripture, it's used in three of the Gospels, but I wrote down the one in Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, where he says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so the physician there was the word chosen by the translators. They could have just as easily put in the word healer. They that are whole need not a healer, but they that are sick. And the word sick there is someone who is diseased or sick, someone that cannot recover on their own. So Jesus is saying a person who cannot recover, their body's beyond the place of recovering on its through its own God-given ability, that person needs a healer. And that's who's our healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah that healeth thee. He provided Jesus Christ for that healing in our lives today. And way back in Exodus, when he spoke that, he was looking to his son, Jesus Christ, for that healing. In fact, in Numbers, we talked about it a week ago, about how God made a serpent and put it upon a pole when they were bitten to represent his what his son would do to effect a healing for our physical bodies in the future. And that's what God looked to back then for their deliverance, and that's who he is still pointing us to for the deliverance that we have in Christ. Amen? There's one other place, and then I'll wrap up. You might say, but didn't God give food for the body? Yes, he did. And there's many places in the scriptures, and I just want to use this one as an example. In Psalms 104, listen carefully to what it says. In Psalms 104, notice what it says. It's talking about how great the Lord is and how many wonderful things he has done. And listen to what it says right here. In verse, I encourage you to read the whole psalm, but I'm going to read this. In verse 13, it says, he watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of men. In other words, the plants that are growing up out of the ground are actually for us. They give us, they service our bodies, okay? That's what he made it for. And then it goes on to say that he may bring forth food out of the earth, showing that it actually gives us fuel for strength to do what God has put in our heart to do. And then it says, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man. Let me tell you, you have a few glasses of wine and it's going to lighten your heart. You're going to be, you know, you might start giggling or laughing or, you know, whatever. It has that physiological effect on your body. And it says oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. And the word heart there that's used, it's not in a spiritual sense. It's in a physical sense. In other words, the bread that man makes from wheat, barley, actually produces physical strength for your physical body. And that's what he's saying. So there's many places in the word like these scriptures that very clearly state the purpose for which God made food for man. Just stop for a second. You know, what about when they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? Why didn't God just supernaturally sustain them? Well, he did sustain them. He gave them manna, and manna had everything necessary in it to be the fuel that their body needed to run on. So, you know, God, when they didn't have a gas station nearby, he brought fuel to them, and that fuel was that. So, and then one other place, and then I think it'll be a good launching place for you to begin starting from your own study in this, is where, and I won't go there, but it's in 1 Timothy chapter 5, where, is it 1 Timothy? Yep, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul says to Timothy, he says to him, he says, drink not only water, but have a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, there's actually a teaching I taught an entire live stream message on that, but there, Paul is telling him, look, the water you're drinking is bad. And so stop drinking that water, have some wine, because you need that moisture in your body, and it will stop you from getting sick from drinking the bad water. So I think I've just covered generally enough for you to begin your own study and to search this out for yourself. But, you know, how the natural affects healing is what we've covered today. And I think the word has been very specific. There's a perfect reason why God created food. It has an effect on the body. But when your body gets beyond its ability to heal, repair, recover itself, then God has provided healing that goes beyond the ability and limits of your natural body. And for that, we turn to Jesus Christ and him alone. So, hey, folks, thanks for joining me. I sure appreciate our time together. It's very encouraging for me. And so God bless you. Have an awesome rest of your day.
We hope you got some great nuggets of wisdom out of that teaching. Thank you for listening to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. And don't forget, you can find us live on Facebook and YouTube 7 days a week. If you would like to donate, please go to www.healingjourneystoday.com. Isaiah 53:5 says, "And by His stripes, we are healed." God bless you.